We've covered in great detail all the verses of chapter 14. We'd come last time to verse 13, and now in verse 14 it says, I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now again, a picture that is obviously, unmistakably, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. This time, however, he appears as a harvester, with a sharp sickle in his hand. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now that's obviously God's harvest. Again, biblical symbol, merely showing in a few verses the 6,000-year program of Almighty God of calling his patriarchs and then his prophets and finally his apostles and his church all down through the ages to continually cry out to the earth that the way of God, the way of God's laws, is the way of love, the way of outgoing concern, the way of love and worship, honor, and reverence toward God, and the way of love, honor, and respect toward fellow man. That Almighty God did not complete creation in the Garden of Eden. Way back in the book of Genesis, we read in the second chapter when man was created and put upon the earth, but he only began creation then. That the whole formation of the earth, our solar system, the entirety of the universe, is a part of the program of Almighty God to reproduce after his kind. If we had the wit to look about us, we can see whether we're dealing with flies, maggots, and more flies, whether we're dealing with mosquitoes, eggs, larvae, and more mosquitoes, or whether we're dealing with elephants, man, or chimpanzees, that life begets life, that life only comes from pre-existing life of the same kind. The desire on the part of human beings to marry, to have a family, to have sons and daughters that look like and are named after them, is more than just some primordial urge that has been placed within us by a mindless thing called nature. It is a part of the design, the program, and the purpose of Almighty God. Now, a lot of people, even sincere church-going Christian people, kind of have the concept that we human beings will never attain to the God level. They have the concept, well, no, we would be to God like our dogs are to us. And we will always be lying on the proverbial carpet by the fireplace up in heaven. All it will take from God is a divine smile, and we will look up with our loving brown eyes and wag our tails very happily. And there's the divine Father over there, and oh, aren't we happy? And like a dog, that's all he needs, you know, is a kind word from you, and sometimes even a look. Oh, Rover, you're a good dog. Yeah, oh, Rover, you know, a little bit of baby talk to a dog. Here goes the tail, bum, 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 flap, flap. A dog can be made absolutely ecstatic just by a kind of a loving tone from a human being who owns the dog. A lot of people think that's the way we will be, kind of like the angels, maybe a little bit above angelic life, but nevertheless, in a kind of a sub-level, a lower level, kind of like a piece of property, a possession, a slave, doorman, or whatever, a servant, to God. They don't have the biblical concept that is preached in the Bible of what this great harvest of the earth is all about. That the great mastermind of the universe is recreating after his kind.